This is One More Round with Chad Hasty, a podcast that covers politics, sports, cigars, and whatever else may be on our minds. Tune in to the Chad Hasty Show weekday mornings, 8:30 to 11 on 790 KFYO or online at KFYO.com. And be sure to follow Chad on Twitter at Chad Hasty Radio. Now, here's Chad.
Welcome to One More Round. I'm Chad Hasty. It was a very busy show today. Benghazi, topic number one, the big topic of the day, as a new comprehensive report by the Senate Intelligence Committee declared that individuals tied to Al-Qaeda were involved in the attack in Benghazi that challenged recent claims that the terror network is not a factor anymore. The report released Monday, nearly 1 year after then-Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, under congressional questioning over the nature of the attack, shouted at lawmakers, "What difference at this point does it make?" The administration initially claimed that the attack sprung out of a protest, you know, that crappy YouTube video, but since it's given a more complicated assessment, still the administration officials all along have downplayed Al-Qaeda's involvement, recently seizing on a New York Times report that supported those claims. However, a new report that came out today showed that Al-Qaeda was absolutely involved, or at least it linked to Al-Qaeda. And by the way, reports that also came out earlier today that we talked about on the show from the Washington Post showed that these attacks could have been prevented if the State Department would have actually seen the warning signs. We'll talk about this also on the show tomorrow. We will continue to keep up with this. We'll check out and see if this will actually make national headlines and how much the press will actually pay attention to this. You know, Chris Christie, his story has been in the news for a long time now, it seems. He's been getting a lot of press coverage because some of his staffers were involved in a, well, this shutting down or almost shutting down of the George Washington Bridge. Media had a field day with that. They're still having a field day with that. They're asking themselves whether or not Chris Christie is a bully. Can he actually be president of the United States? Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton and the Obama administration, they get to skate on by, and people actually died in Benghazi. You had the administration come out and lie to the American people, claiming that it was a video that set off these protests in Benghazi on September 11th of 2012. When we all know that was not the case. Seems as though this was a terrorist attack linked to those who can be linked to Al-Qaeda. Very interesting story. We'll see how much the press plays this up in the next few days and weeks. This should be a very major story. Now, of course, during the show, we don't always get a chance to get into everything that I go through during the day, at night, and different news stories that I find that I think would be pretty interesting. One of those stories include the Boston Globe story about Obama's grip on younger voters and the fact that younger voters are starting to flee Obama and the administration. This from the Boston Globe, their political section, headline, "Obama's grip on younger voters beginning to slip. Alienated by NSA snooping, health stumble, and gridlock." The article starts off by talking about an electric atmosphere at the University of New Hampshire on the last election day. Students covered sidewalks with messages in chalk urging students to go and vote, and vote for President Hope and Change. Vote for President Obama. Buses and minivans circled the campus, shuttling students to the polls. The efforts paid off. Obama carried Durham, North New Hampshire by a 2-1 vote on his way to winning the crucial swing state. A little more than a year later, the mood has changed, alarmingly, for Democratic Party leaders, in a shift that is also reflected in the national polls. Students are increasingly turned off by politics and the Democratic Party. Even those who were enthusiastic about Obama said they are now jaded by the gridlock in Washington, disillusioned by a president they thought would be transformational. Quote, "The public has seen that it wasn't magic," said Tyler Goldbrand, president of the UNH College Democrats. "It wasn't this beautiful renaissance in our country. I think we expected a lot more, maybe just out of hope." Domestic spying by the government, the incompetence demonstrated in the launch of Obamacare, the continued weakness in the economy, all conspired to undermine Democrats' big advantage among young voters ages 18 to 29, according to specialists. In a detailed national poll released last month by Harvard's Institute of Politics, nearly half of young voters said that they would recall President Obama if they could. Only 41% approved of the job Obama was doing, an 11-point drop from 6 months earlier. It's a trend line that top Democrats are worried about, one that top Republicans are trying to exploit leading into 2014 and the midterm elections. You know, I read this story and you go through it and you just see so many of these students who are interviewed, and they talk to these to this reporter, and they are disillusioned. You know, back in 2008 and 2012, the students out there, they had this thought that President Obama was going to be the great hope and change, that he was going to come in and change America, that he was going to make everything great and beautiful. And, well, they thought everything was going to be fantastic in their life. They were going to get out of college, right out of college, go and get a job. They thought that government was going to help them out with everything. They thought their best friend was going to be government. And guess what? That's not the case. Instead, we see that students are coming out of college. They can't find a job in many places in this country, and they have tons of student debt now. And they look at Obama and go, where were you? We thought you were going to be with us on this. Hopefully some students are starting to open up their eyes a little bit, and they'll see that, well, President Obama was just another politician out there, and he really didn't have their best interest in mind. Now, does this mean that you're going to have a ton of Republicans, a ton of college-age Republicans now? No, I don't think so. I think what you will have is, in the next election going into 2016, you will probably see a lot of college students, honestly, stay home. College students don't get pumped up about Hillary Clinton. I know Kankles herself, you would think, would inspire a lot of people, but no, not really. People are not inspired by Hillary Clinton. At least young people are not inspired by Hillary Clinton. Some of the feminazis out there, probably, but not so much the average college student. The average college student, they looked at Barack Obama, they saw someone who was young and hip, and kind of like them, right? Guy who didn't mind smoking a little marijuana, didn't mind a little drug use. Yeah, back in the day, back in college, he was hip, he's cool. Well, guess what? Didn't work out too well for the college students in this country. Hasn't worked out for a lot of people in this country. That's why I do think 2016 will be a little bit different. You're not going to have a turnout like it was in 2012 and 2008. You're not going to see that enthusiasm for a Hillary Clinton if she gets the nomination. Another article that I thought would be interesting that we did not have time to get to today, it's about the minimum wage. This from the Daily Caller. A new study that has come out says that if you were to raise the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour, as many as 1 million jobs, or just over 1 million jobs, could be eliminated from the workforce. This according to a new study conducted by the Employment Policies Institute. Quote, no amount of denial by the president and his political allies and no number of studies published by biased researchers can change the fact that the minimum wage hike eliminates jobs for low-skill and entry-level employees. By the way, high school students, college students out there, those who don't have a college education, these are your jobs. These are the jobs that you would go out and get. Yeah, those jobs would be gone. They would be replaced by an iPad, by a touch screen. Instead of you taking money at the cash register, that's okay. We'll just have somebody order via touch screen. Very interesting story, that from the Daily Caller. You can check it out. Finally, we love to bring you some of the dumb stories about government spending. Are you ready for this? This from Fox News. Taxpayers from 2006 to 2011 paid nearly $175 million for vacuum erection systems. Yeah. By the way, if you don't know what that is, those are commonly known as a penis pump, according to the Inspector General report last that was released on Monday. The federal government paid more than double the retail price for penis pumps, the Department of Health and Human Services found. Medicare prices for the systems, the report said, remain grossly excessive compared with the amounts that non-Medicare payers pay. Medicare paid $473,620 in claims during the calendar year, 2006 through 2011, according to the report. Healthcare policy experts say the revelations in the report are a troubling indication about what they describe as wasteful spending in the federal health program. So, taxpayers spent nearly $175 million for penis pumps. It's probably not the oddest thing that taxpayer money has gone towards. Maybe. This has been One More Round. I'm Chad Hastie.